Chapter 30. I begin life on my own account, and don't like it. I know enough of the world now to have almost lost the capacity of being much surprised by anything. But it is matter of some surprise to me, even now, that I can have been so easily thrown away at such an age. A child of excellent abilities, and with strong powers of observation, quick, eager, delicate, and soon hurt bodily or mentally, it seems wonderful to me that nobody should have made any sign in my behalf. But none was made, and I became, at 10 years old, a little laboring hind in the service of Murdstone and Grinby. Murdstone and Grinby's warehouse was at the waterside. It was down in Blackfriars. Modern improvements have altered the place, but it was the last house at the bottom of a narrow street, curving downhill to the river, with some stairs at the end, where people took boat. It was a crazy old house with a wharf of its own, abutting on the water when the tide was in, and on the mud when the tide was out, and literally overrun with rats. Its paneled rooms, discolored with the dirt and smoke of 100 years, I dare say, its decaying floors and staircase, the squeaking and scuffling of the old gray rats down in the cellars, and the dirt and rottenness of the place, are things, not of many years ago, in my mind, but of the present instant. They are all before me, just as they were in the evil hour, when I went among them for the first time, with my trembling hand in Mr. Quinion's. Murdstone and Grinby's trade was among a good many kinds of people, but an important branch of it was the supply of wines and spirits to certain packet ships. I forget now where they chiefly went, but I think there were some among them that made voyages both to the East and West Indies. I know that a great many empty bottles were one of the consequences of this traffic, and that certain men and boys were employed to examine them against the light, and reject those that were flawed, and to rinse and wash them. When the empty bottles ran short, there were labels to be pasted on full ones, or corks to be fitted to them, or seals to be put upon the corks, or finished bottles to be packed in casks. All this work was my work, and of the boys employed upon it I was one. There were 3 or 4 of us, counting me. My working place was established in a corner of the warehouse, where Mr. Quinion could see me when he chose to stand upon the bottom rail of his stool in the counting house, and look at me through a window above the desk. Hither, on the first morning of my so auspiciously beginning life on my own account, the oldest of the regular boys was summoned to show me my business. His name was Mick Walker, and he wore a ragged apron and a paper cap. He informed me that his father was a barchman, and walked, in a black velvet headdress, in the Lord Mayor's show. He also informed me that our principal associate would be another boy whom he introduced by the to me extraordinary name of Mealy Piatos. I discovered, however, that this youth had not been christened by that name, but that it had been bestowed upon him in the warehouse, on account of his complexion, which was paler Mealy. Mealy's father was a waterman, who had the additional distinction of being a fireman, and was engaged as such at one of the large theaters, where some young relation of Mealy's, I think his little sister, did imps in the pantomimes. No words can express the secret agony of my soul as I sunk into this companionship, compared these henceforth everyday associates with those of my happier childhood, not to say with Steerforth, Traddles, and the rest of those boys, and felt my hopes of growing up to be a learned and distinguished man, crushed in my bosom. The deep remembrance of the sense I had, of being utterly without hope now, of the shame I felt in my position, of the misery it was to my young heart, to believe that day by day what I had learned, and thought, and delighted in, and raised my fancy and my emulation up by, would pass away from me, little by little, never to be brought back any more, cannot be written. As often as Mick Walker went away in the course of that forenoon, I mingled my tears with the water in which I was washing the bottles, and sobbed as if there were a flaw in my own breast, and it were in danger of bursting. The counting house clock was at 12:30, and there was general preparation for going to dinner, when Mr. Quinion tapped at the counting house window, and beckoned to me to go in. I went in, and found there a stoutish, middle-aged person, in a brown surtout and black tights and shoes, with no more hair upon his head, which was a large one, and very shining, than there is upon an egg, and with a very extensive face, which he turned full upon me. His clothes were shabby, but he had an imposing shirt collar on. He carried a jaunty sort of a stick, with a large pair of rusty tassels to it, and a quizzing glass hung outside his coat, for ornament, I afterwards found, as he very seldom looked through it, and couldn't see anything when he did. This, apostrophe said Mr. Quinion, in allusion to myself, is he. Apostrophe this, apostrophe said the stranger, with a certain condescending roll in his voice, and a certain indescribable air of doing something genteel, which impressed me very much, is Master Copperfield. I hope I see you well, sir. Apostrophe apostrophe, I said I was very well, and hoped he was. I was sufficiently ill at ease, heaven knows, but it was not in my nature to complain much at that time of my life. So I said I was very well, and hoped he was. I am, apostrophe said the stranger, thank heaven, quite well. I have received a letter from Mr. Murdstone, in which he mentions that he would desire me to receive into an apartment in the rear of my house, which is at present unoccupied and is, in short, to be let as a in short, apostrophe said the stranger, with a smile and in a burst of confidence, as a bedroom the young beginner whom I have now the pleasure to apostrophe, and the stranger waved his hand, and settled his chin in his shirt collar. This is Mr. Micawber, apostrophe said Mr. Quinion to me. Ahem. Apostrophe apostrophe said the stranger, that is my name. Apostrophe, apostrophe Mr. Micawber, apostrophe said Mr. Quinion, is known to Mr. Murdstone. He takes orders for us on commission, when he can get any. He has been written to by Mr. Murdstone, on the subject of your lodgings, and he will receive you as a lodger. Apostrophe, my address, apostrophe said Mr. Micawber, is Windsor Terrace, City Road. I in short, apostrophe said Mr. Micawber, with the same genteel air, and in another burst of confidence I live there. Apostrophe, I made him a bow. Under the impression, apostrophe said Mr. Micawber, that your peregrinations in this metropolis have not as yet been extensive, and that you might have some difficulty in penetrating the arcana of the modern Babylon in the direction of the City Road. In short, apostrophe said Mr. Micawber, in another burst of confidence, that you might lose yourself I shall be happy to call this evening, and install you in the knowledge of the nearest way. Apostrophe, I thanked him with all my heart, for it was friendly in him to offer to take that trouble. At what hour, apostrophe said Mr. Micawber, shall I apostrophe, at about 8, apostrophe said Mr. Quinion. At about 8, apostrophe said Mr. Micawber. I beg to wish you good day, Mr. Quinion. I will intrude no longer. Apostrophe, so he put on his hat, and went out with his cane under his arm. Very upright, and humming a tune, when he was clear of the counting house. Mr. Quinion then formally engaged me to be as useful as I could in the warehouse of Murdstone and Grinby, at a salary, I think, of 6 shillings a week. I am not clear whether it was 6 or 7. I am inclined to believe, from my uncertainty on this head, that it was 6 at first and 7 afterwards. He paid me a week down from his own pocket, I believe, and I gave Mealy 6 pence out of it to get my trunk carried to Windsor Terrace that night. It being too heavy for my strength, small as it was, I paid 6 pence more for my dinner, which was a meat pie and a turn at a neighboring pump, and passed the hour which was allowed for that meal in walking about the streets. At the appointed time in the evening, Mr. Micawber reappeared. I washed my hands and face, to do the greater honor to his gentility, and we walked to our house, as I suppose I must now call it, together, Mr. Mickleburn pressing the name of streets and the shapes of corner houses upon me as we went along, that I might find my way back easily in the morning. Arrived at this house in Windsor Terrace, which I noticed was shabby like himself, but also, like himself, made all the show it could, he presented me to Mrs. Micawber, a thin and faded lady, not at all young, who was sitting in the parlor. The first floor was altogether unfurnished, and the blinds were kept down to delude the neighbors, with a baby at her breast. This baby was one of twins, and I may remark here that I hardly ever, in all my experience of the family, saw both the twins detached from Mrs. Micawber at the same time. One of them was always taking refreshment. There were two other children, Master Micawber, aged about 4, and Miss Micawber, aged about 3. These, and a dark-complexioned young woman, with a habit of snorting, who was servant to the family, and informed me, before half an hour had expired, that she was a orphling, and came from St. Luke's workhouse, in the neighborhood, completed the establishment. My room was at the top of the house, at the back. A close chamber, stenciled all over with an ornament which my young imagination represented as a blue muffin, and very scantily furnished. I never thought, apostrophe said Mrs. Micawber, when she came up, twin and all, to show me the apartment, and sat down to take breath, before I was married, when I lived with Papa and Mama, that I should ever find it necessary to take a lodger. But Mr. Micawber being in difficulties, all considerations of private feeling must give way. Apostrophe, I said. Yes, ma'am. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Micawber's difficulties are almost overwhelming just at present, apostrophe said Mrs. Micawber, and whether it is possible to bring him through them, I don't know. When I lived at home with Papa and Mama, I really should have hardly understood what the word meant, in the sense in which I now employ it, but experientia does it, as Papa used to say. Apostrophe, I cannot satisfy myself, whether she told me that Mr. Micawber had been an officer in the Marines, or whether I have imagined it. I only know that I believe to this hour, that he was in the Marines once upon a time, without knowing why. He was a sort of town traveler for a number of miscellaneous houses now, but made little, or nothing of it, I am afraid. If Mr. Micawber's creditors will not give him time, apostrophe said Mrs. Micawber, they must take the consequences, and the sooner they bring it to an issue the better. Blood cannot be obtained from a stone, neither can anything on account be obtained at present, not to mention law expenses, from Mr. Micawber. Apostrophe, I never can quite understand whether my precocious self-dependence confused Mrs. Micawber in reference to my age, or whether she was so full of the subject that she would have talked about it to the very twins if there had been nobody else to communicate with, but this was the strain in which she began, and she went on accordingly all the time I knew her. Poor Mrs. Micawber! She said she had tried to exert herself, and so, I have no doubt, she had. The center of the street door was perfectly covered with a great brass plate, on which was engraved apostrophe Mrs. Micawber's boarding establishment for young ladies. But I never found that any young lady had ever been to school there, or that any young lady ever came, or proposed to come, or that the least preparation was ever made to receive any young lady. The only visitors I ever saw, or heard of, were creditors. They used to come at all hours, and some of them were quite ferocious. One dirty-faced man, I think he was a bootmaker, used to etch himself into the passage as early as 7 o'clock in the morning, and call up the stairs to Mr. Micawber, come. You ain't out yet, you know. Pay us, will you? Don't hide, you know, that's mean. I wouldn't be mean, if I was you. Pay us, will you? You just pay us, do you hear? Come. Apostrophe receiving no answer to these taunts, he would mount in his wrath to the words swindlers and robbers, and these being ineffectual too, would sometimes go to the extremity of crossing the street, and roaring up at the windows of the second floor, where he knew Mr. Micawber was. At these times, Mr. Micawber would be transported with grief and mortification, even to the length, as I was once made aware by a scream from his wife, of making motions at himself with a razor. But within half an hour afterwards, he would polish up his shoes with extraordinary pains, and go out, humming a tune with a greater air of gentility than ever. Mrs. Micawber was quite as elastic. I have known her to be thrown into fainting fits by the king's taxes at 3 o'clock, and to eat lamb chops, breaded, and drink warm ale paid for with 2 teaspoons, that had gone to the pawnbroker's, at 4. On one occasion, when an execution had just been put in, coming home through some chance as early as 6 o'clock, I saw her lying, of course with a twin, under the grate in a swoon, with her hair all torn about her face. But I never knew her more cheerful than she was, that very same night, over a veal cutlet before the kitchen fire, telling me stories about her papa and mama, and the company they used to keep. In this house, and with this family, I passed my leisure time. My own exclusive breakfast of a penny loaf and a pennyworth of milk, I provided myself. I kept another small loaf, and a modicum of cheese, on a particular shelf of a particular cupboard, to make my supper on when I came back at night. This made a hole in the 6 or 7 shillings, I know well, and I was out at the warehouse all day, and had to support myself on that money all the week. From Monday morning until Saturday night, I had no advice, no counsel, no encouragement, no consolation, no assistance, no support, of any kind, from anyone, that I can call to mind, as I hope to go to heaven. I was so young and childish, and so little qualified, how could I be otherwise? To undertake the whole charge of my own existence, that often, in going to Murdstone and Grinby's, of a morning, I could not resist the stale pastry put out for sale at half price at the pastry cook stores, and spent in, that the money I should have kept for my dinner. Then, I went without my dinner, or bought a roll or a slice of pudding. I remember 2 pudding shops, between which I was divided, according to my finances. One was in a court close to St. Martin's Church at the back of the church, which is now removed altogether. The pudding at that shop was made of currants, and was rather a special pudding, but was dear, 2 pennyworth not being larger than a pennyworth of more ordinary pudding. A good shop for the latter was in the Strand somewhere in that part which has been rebuilt since. It was a stout pale pudding, heavy and flabby, and with great flat raisins in it, stuck in whole at wide distances apart. It came up hot at about my time every day, and many a day did I dine off it. When I dined regularly and handsomely, I had a saveloy and a penny loaf, or a 4-penny plate of red beef from a cook's shop, or a plate of bread and cheese and a glass of beer, from a miserable old public house opposite our place of business, called the Lion, or the Lion, and something else, that I have forgotten. Once, I remember carrying my own bread, which I had brought from home in the morning, under my arm, wrapped in a piece of paper, like a book, and going to a famous Alamode beef house near Drury Lane, and ordering a small plate of that delicacy to eat with it. What the waiter thought of such a strange little apparition coming in all alone, I don't know. But I can see him now, staring at me as I ate my dinner, and bringing up the other waiter to look. I gave him a halfpenny for himself, and I wish he hadn't taken it. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.